Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met yet, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This fall, you'll hear a combo of educator interviews and quick solo episodes where I share some favorite tips and ideas, including a few from my new book, EdTech Essentials. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today with the show notes and all the resources mentioned in this episode. This episode is sponsored by Levered Learning, a 21st century instructional system for elementary math, created by educators to provide just the right level of support and challenge for every student. Levered gives teachers the ability to create personalized learning paths using real-time data on student progress, tools to support intervention and enrichment. Levered's individualized online math curriculum is proven to increase learning growth by 70% on state testing in the first year of implementation. Learn more at levered.com. This week's podcast is titled Using EdTech for Calm, Coping, and Creativity with Lisa Johnson. Lisa and I are fellow Apple Distinguished Educators. We've known each other for a long time and always find ourselves catching up about all things EdTech in between conferences, at special events, over coffee, or even sometimes over barbecue if I happen to be in her home state of Texas. In today's episode, you'll hear from Lisa some great strategies to consider around social emotional learning, executive functioning, and lifelong skill building for students of all ages. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, Lisa, to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I am so excited that you are here. As I shared in the intro, you and I have known each other for quite some time, and this is your first time on the podcast. And before we jump into today's topic, I'm hoping that you can share a bit about your role in education and tell listeners what your day-to-day looks like.
Yes, we have known each other for a long time. 2013, maybe, or ish, even earlier.
Yeah,
than that.
Maybe even earlier. Yeah.
So I'm Lisa Johnson, and I've been in education for over 20 years now. I've done a lot of different things. I've taught middle school math. I've taught high school English language arts, and for the better portion of my career, I've been in ed tech. You know, working with one-to-one iPads at a high school here in Austin, Texas. And I'm also, you know, like you, I blog about these things. I'm an author. I have two books. I love creating and curating content. So I've got tons of resources all over the place that we can mention. And most recently, I'm on a kind of quote-unquote sabbatical of sorts because of just some health things that kind of happened last year to me. And so I'm kind of working from home this year and trying to kind of figure out what my new normal looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all, you know, kind of trying to figure that out in some form or fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been such a different year and a half now as we think about the ways that we are supporting educators. I know you do so much blogging and sharing on social and all of those pieces. And, you know, I'm really excited to talk today about this topic of using ed tech for calm, coping, and creativity. And social emotional learning, SEL, and ed tech has been an area of focus here on the podcast, on the blog this past year. And so I'm hoping we can start with the first two on this list. We'll come back to the creativity piece in a moment. But where does ed tech come into play when talking about the ideas of calm and coping?
That's a loaded question. There's so many different things. You know, working at the high school, I'll give you a little bit of context into some of the work and even, you know, kind of where my second book, the birthplace of all of that was. You know, working at a high school, you do see a lot, and I think this is mirrored throughout society and, you know, across the globe, but you do see a lot of anxiety and depression and stress and mental health and all of these things. And it's not just our students, it's our staff too. And so as I, you know, was looking at this, and this was several years ago, a lot of it, you know, you start looking at social emotional learning and you look at, you know, executive functioning skills and things like that, and where all of those kind of meet and what you can do, and even college and career readiness skills, and, you know, maintaining your day and to-do lists, as well as, you know, figuring out, you know, how long things take you and, you know, what time of day you feel, you know, the most energized, or even just knowing, hey, I didn't know that if I drank more water or got more sleep or went outside, these are all, you know, mood boosting sort of things. And so when I was working at the high school, we were looking at, you know, what's a research-based strategies that we can share with students, and how can we share them with students? Because you don't just want to say, like, on the announcements, hey, did you know you should drink more water? You know, like, it's not really going to, you know, I mean, that's not how you reach people. And I'll also mention too, around the same time, you know, you and I are both on Instagram, and so I was noticing a lot of bullet journals and journals and planners and things like that all focus on this idea of mental health and calm and coping and, you know, looking at mood trackers and habit trackers and all of these things. And so it just kind of made sense to bring those in because a lot of our students were already using those, or at least had like some sort of exposure and experience to them. So that's kind of where the calm and coping came in, is, you know, a push for, hey, there's a big need for students to understand how to really address their mental health and to be aware of their mental health. And a lot of times, simple things that, you know, deal with social emotional learning and executive functioning, like goal setting or prioritizing tasks, or just being mindful of, hey, like, I'm really awake in the morning, I'm not so awake at night, you know, so maybe I need to do my studying maybe earlier in the morning versus, you know, later at night, and just, and kind of adjusting for those things. And so that's really what I started working with students on, and, you know, sharing with our teachers and our staff and everybody. And through that, I was using EdTech tools because, you know, there's many ways to reach students. And, you know, yes, you can print things, you can have analog, but I also wanted to make sure that everything I was creating was accessible, but also customizable. And EdTech tools allow you to do that. And really, when I say EdTech tools, I'm talking about like Google Sheets and Numbers. You know, they're simple tools. There's so many different things that you can do with them. And, you know, it's the same thing. I was reading some research about how if you give students, you know, a template or a graphic organizer, and I know you're very familiar with this type of thing, that they're more apt to use it and more apt to, you know, take notes or utilize that information if they have some sort of scaffolding and framework. And that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to use those EdTech tools to be able to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, Lisa, I think just so much of this, and of course, you know, with the secondary education perspective, you know, so much of this is really building lifelong skills for prioritizing, goal setting. I mean, I'm, you know, we're recording this. I know we're in different time zones. It's before lunchtime, we'll just say, right? And so I know I've already, right, used the MindBody app so that I would sign up for a yoga class last night, because I know I work, if I get up early, that feels good for me, right? And if I sign up the night before, I can't get out of it. I can't roll over, right? So like, you know, that's one app this morning for me. The Waterminder app goes off every hour to remind me to drink more water, you know, and even just project management tools like Asana is one I use. every day to help me remember what's important, what's a silly thing I don't have to do. And, you know, I even pulled up Brain FM this morning for about 60 minutes because I had this writing project I wanted to just get done on a Monday morning as we're recording this, right? So I just think about the things that you're talking about as not, you know, a fluffy thing or an extra thing, but so essential for building these sort of skills. I mean, mine might be a little bit much from my morning today, but they're so built into my practice, it makes me have to step back to even name them. And I'm probably forgetting, you know, a fifth thing on the list. So, you know, you mentioned Google Sheets, right? Numbers, things that can help with some of the tracking and different pieces. What are some of your favorite app recommendations for just maintaining a sense of calm or calmness that you might bring into your practice, your work with educators and students?
So you've named tons of apps that are all fantastic. I think working with students, it's hard just because, you know, you have to worry about accounts and privacy and you know, data privacy and all that. And so I really do lean on tools that have already, students are already using. So again, like I use Google Sheets a lot. I use Numbers a lot. There's some really cool things that you can do with both of those. And I'll mention, like all these sort of tools, you don't have to build them. I've got habit trackers and water trackers and, you know, mood and health trackers. I've got blog posts about all of these that go way further into detail than what we could do in this podcast. Mm-hmm. All of those are available for free in the Creatively Productive Doc Locker, which Monica will have linked for you. There's a gratitude tracker. I didn't even get into gratitude, but, you know, and please know that not all of these, I know we're talking about these in like the greater sense, and you're probably thinking, okay, well, but how can I actually use those in my classroom? Like some of these make sense, you know, for students across the board, but like, what can I actually do with these in the class? And there's tons that you can do with them in the core curriculum. You know, when you're tracking anything, especially like mood and health or water or anything like that, you know, you've got data that you can be tracking, you know, so math and science automatically, these are great for. But even if you're looking at this, like I've got a level up student, you know, reflection, which is a lot of goal setting. I've got gratitude trackers and health trackers and all of those. And really, those are great to be using if you're, you know, having students write and doing something in conjunction with a reflection, you know, a week of mindfulness, you could do this. There's so many different things. Yeah. And again, we don't have time to go over all of these, but I've got blog posts that are readily available for you that go into greater detail about how I've used these with students. And again, I always try to make sure that everything I'm creating is accessible as well as customizable. So, you know, you'll have a Numbers version if you want to go Apple, and you'll have a Google Sheets version if you, you know, want to, you know, use obviously the Google tools. And you can obviously PDF any of those if you wanted to annotate them or do anything like that. But I really do try to make sure that they're editable and can't eat them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I saw candy corn bratwurst this morning and I was like, what?
Okay, right.
Anyway, I digress.
No, I mean, yes. I love just the idea of being able to customize some of these pieces to make those core curriculum connections, maybe to lean into any social emotional skill building that a school or teacher, right, has high on their list of priorities, because so many of these pieces overlap, right? Just mindfulness practice, right? Using ed tech tools to foster that, but then, you know, also being flexible. And you mentioned it already, right? You might print this out, right? Not everyone wants to use digital tools. Some want to use analog tools. We might want to introduce some of the digital skills for, say, habit tracking or goal setting, but then also offer, you know, some of these analog options, which, you know, leads us into this third C, if you will, on our list for today, which is that, you know, this idea of creativity. And there are so many ways to use EdTech to promote creativity. I know you love sharing both analog and digital strategies. We've hosted webinars together, I guess, this time last year, right? Like last fall, really thinking about some of these creative ways and creative outlets for kids. But maybe let's start with that analog first or the offline first. Can you tell us a bit how you view creativity in the classroom?
I'm going to say one thing before that, though, because you hit on it, and I really want to mention it again and stress it. Like, these are college and career readiness skills, too. These are not like foo-foo things by any means. And in fact, I just posted on my Instagram when I was talking about my first book about, you know, there's a quote that says, we hire for hard skills, we fire for soft skills. And these are integral soft skills, and being able to build these with students now is just, it's instrumental, you know, in setting them up for success in the future. So I wanted to get up on my soapbox with that for just a second. Okay. So calm and coping. Now we're moving to creativity. I found a definition. It said creativity is a phenomenon whereby something somehow new and somehow valuable is formed. And so I really think it's looking less, you know, at the new and more about like what is really valuable. And it doesn't have to necessarily be something new. It could be something, you know, like collages. Like, we've been making collages for a really long time. This is not something new. And yes, you can make a digital collage. You can also make an analog collage, you know, and not only that, but like, what's the value in that? Well, you know, there's dual coding. You know, we're able to kind of, you know, match images to text and really understand and dig. And I know that you talk a lot about that in many of your books. You know, it's cathartic. There's a lot of mental and emotional health that goes into journaling and collaging and all of those sort of things. And so I really think we need to look at, okay, it's not just analog, it's digital. Like, what's adding value, you know, for our students really? And is it, you know, are they able to save time? Sure. That's obviously important. Does it, you know, save teachers time? Sure. Obviously important as well. But I think the value is the meaningfulness that it has to our students and to their learning and to their success.
And that's just so huge when we think about some of these pieces that we might build off of, right? Like, you gave the collage example. There's lots of things that we can do that might bring some of these different pieces together, right? We make a collage with our fingers covered in, is it hodgepodge? What's that? Like, I always forget the watery glue, right? Stuff.
Yes, and
then,
yes.
Yeah. Right. So the hands-on experience, but then maybe snapping a picture and recording over it, right? Or turning it into an augmented reality experience or a display within a space. So just so many different pieces and kind of, you know, building upon this ed tech connection, what are some of your kind of go-to digital tools that foster student creativity or strategies for using digital tools to really help foster student creativity in really any environment?
Yeah. So I think that, yes, they do foster creativity. I almost want to say facilitate creativity
some
ways. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of where I'm going to say, you know, it is ADHD Awareness Month, and it is something to, and I think you and I are very, you know, you wrote a book called Tasks Before Apps. So I think it's very similar. And that I think I'm going to get on another soapbox and say, it's not about the app. And really we're seeing a saturation of apps, which almost creates kind of a decision fatigue. And so really it's looking at apps like, you know, Book Creator, Canva, Explain Everything, Keynote, you know, the Google Suite, that are open-ended, they're easy to use. A lot of them have been, you know, designed with accessibility in mind, and they offer just endless possibilities. And once, you know, and a student could be using Book Creator in second grade and still use it in high school. Same thing with, you know, Explain Everything, Keynote, all of those, they're just life tools. And I really do think, you know, and actually all of them I'll mention too, Book Creator, Canva, Explain Everything, and Keynote. There was a reason I mentioned those, not only them being open-ended, but they have a lot of scaffolding because they have templates. So they're not just like, hey, here's a blank page, because that's incredibly, it's a lot for students to take in, but they do have templates in every single one of them. And that's so important to, you know, support educators and students' needs. And also because they're being used so readily, they're constantly being updated. And that's really something, you know, when you're choosing an ed tech tool, you want to make sure it's a tool that, you know, somebody's coding and sure that they're making updates to it, so it is running properly and you're not experiencing glitches and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you mentioned the template piece for some of these creation tools, because you're right. That blank canvas, you know, is tempting in a way to say, go do whatever you like, but it's also overwhelming. And, you know, I don't think templates are always limiting, right? Or making it hard for someone to demonstrate creativity. I think there's a lot you can do within constraints, and even constraints might be a strong word. Maybe it's more like inspiration with some of these templates. And so those are all great resources, and we'll link to them, to those open-ended creation tools you suggested in the show notes for today's episode too. So Lisa, I want people to know about your most recent book, which you mentioned, and some of the projects that you're working on. Can you share a little bit about that before we finish up today?
Yeah. So both of my books are kind of founded in college and career readiness and social emotional learning. The second one really dives into college career readiness, social emotional learning, and executive functioning skills. Mm-hmm. And it's called Creatively Productive. And it's really at the cross section of all of those things. So, you know, I could talk kind of about each chapter just briefly. I'll give you kind of an overview of them.
So, yeah, great.
The first chapter kind of deals with digital organization, which is, you know, just, it's a big thing. It's something that we're not always being mindful that we need to teach students, you know, how to locate files, how to make sure that, you know, you're signed into whatever you need to be signed into, how you're choosing, you know, to organize your notes in Notability and just all of those sort of things, and backing up notes. So chapter one is digital organization. Chapter two deals with time management, which gets into a lot of different things, but obviously a lot of executive functioning. And I'm, like I said, I'm huge into creating templates. So there's tons of templates and resources within there, you know, each chapter that kind of go into detail about how they can be used. Chapter three deals with note-taking. I was finding that, yes, students take notes pretty much in every class almost every day, but yet they weren't being taught necessarily the strategies of note-taking or like the four note-taking styles and when it might make sense to use one over the other. So I go into that. I go into some research I've got over that. And so that's kind of the chapter one through three. And then, because it's broken up into two different parts. And then chapter four through six are, you know, kind of building off of all of those skills. So chapter four deals with goal setting, habit tracking, all of those sort of things. A lot we've talked about, like the, you know, where you get these ideas, how they can be used within the core curriculum. And then chapter five deals with journaling and reflection, but not so much, you know, I think sometimes when we hear journaling, we still kind of get that like foo-foo sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. And really I split that chapter into two different sections. One is, you know, personal journaling. So if you're an ELA teacher, you know, there's a lot of great prompts and creative prompts in there. And also then it's more professional journaling, because I do work with a lot of CTE courses. And so it's really kind of understanding that and working on those, you know, kind of career and college readiness reflections. Mm-hmm. And then chapter six gets into what you do when you read something and how you really retain that comprehension of what you're reading. And so it does get into color psychology and reader's notebooks and things of that nature. So giving you kind of a very large sort of access to that. And we'll have a link to all of those resources. The other thing that I'm kind of working on right now is an online course. It's called Intentional Design for All Learners. It's going to be with Fried Technology. And it really kind of looks at things that are essential for some, but useful for all, which is UDL practices. Mm-hmm. I've got a son on the spectrum. I found out recently last year that I'm also on the spectrum. And so really kind of understanding when we design things for students that we're very mindful about and very intentional and purposeful about how we design the resources and the handouts and the learning. You know, I mentioned dual coding, something very simple, you know, similar as when you're creating something, you have an image that also corresponds with that text. So it's very obvious that, you know, this is an assessment because it has, you know, a picture of a test and then it has, you know, the word test next to it. So just small things like that, that are really, really helpful and really aren't so small to the students that really need those things.
And all of those pieces really connect to our ideas that we're talking about today around maintaining that level of just calm and comfort, accessibility too, right? All those pieces are kind of looped in together when we're thinking about this big idea of really creating a safe environment for students, for them to try things out, take rests, and build all those lifelong learner or career and college readiness style skills. So Lisa, this was so wonderful to chat with you today, to get all of these gems and all of this information to listeners. Can you let us know where folks can follow along with your work and just learn more about your work?
Sure. I've got a website, as many of us do. It's tech, T-C-H, chef, C-H-E-F, and then the number 4, letter U. You can find tons of resources there. My books each have look inside features. They are exploding, both of them, with tons of templates and tools. And all of those can be found by going to the books tab on my website, which I just mentioned. I also spend a lot of time on Instagram. And there I'm Note Chef for you, but you can find me also other places on Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter and all of those sort of things as Tech Chef for you.
Well, thank you so much for taking out time today to share all of these wonderful resources, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Monica. I've always enjoy coming and talking to you and I always learn so much as well.
I'm so glad Lisa could carve out some time to join us for this episode to talk about all things calm, coping, and creativity with EdTech. Let's finish up this episode, like we always do, by talking about a few ways to make this EdTech easy. First, use tools students are already using, like Google Sheets or Numbers. Next, think of lifelong learning skills that connect to your goals around EdTech. Then, make core curriculum connections, like the math and data suggestion Lisa shared. And finally, connect to SEL or social emotional skill building initiatives. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all the resources and tools mentioned today, plus how to connect with Lisa Johnson by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 137. A big thank you to our sponsor, Levered Learning, for this episode. No matter what the school year tosses our way, Levered Systems Level approach to teaching and learning will be key to building back with an accelerated learning path for every student. If you'd like to learn more about how Levered can impact your teacher satisfaction and student impact, email info@levered.com and ask for the Digital Promise Brief. Did you like today's episode? Well, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you think a friend or colleague would enjoy the tips from today, send them a text with the link to today's episode. And if you share on social media, don't forget to tag me @ClassTechTips. I just might have something special for you. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.